Psalm 61. It appears in this psalm that the psalmist is distant from Jerusalem. He would love to dwell in the temple of Yahweh, and he pleads for protection. And in the verses 6 to 7 we'll see he prays for the king. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. That's the simplest word for prayer, tefillah. It occurs 30 times throughout the Psalms, this word prayer, tefillah. You'd expect that. It's not the name in Greek by which the Psalms are known. That's psalmos, you know, that occurs sometimes in the Hebrew word for it and then translated. So that means something played with the harp. And they may not have all been played with the harp. Some of them may have been chanted, some of them would have had other musical instruments and so on. Not that the only ones played with the harp is where the harp is actually mentioned. But the word, actually, there's another word, tehillah, almost identical. Tehillah means praise. And that's the name by which the Hebrew Bible calls the Psalms. It doesn't call them Psalms, it calls them songs of praise. Tehillim. If you look at the Hebrew Bible, that'll be what's above the book. But we, through the Latin and then the English, we've, in the tradition where we've called them, what the Greek Bible calls them, psalmoi, psalms. Doesn't matter, I don't think, but that's just information for you. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you with a despondent heart. Carry me onto a rock where they cannot get to me. For you are my refuge, my bastion against the enemy. He wants to be up there in a high mountain redoubt where the army that are pillaging or whatever won't get to him. Or the people that are attacking him. You've got to look at it metaphorically as well, all of that different meanings. I want to abide in your tent forever, find refuge under the shelter of your wings. Didn't we have this, was it last week or the week before? The wings of the cherubim that just meet over the Ark of the Covenant, these protective wings. So it means, I want to be there where you are, God, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, where nothing can touch me, because of the cherubim that are, you know, facing anyone that might dare to enter in the temenos, the sacred place. The Iranians, it was a common Near Eastern image, these animals with wings of a eagle and the body of an ox and the feet of a lion, you know, so they're all the powerful elements that would anyone who dared enter an Iranian temple or a Jewish temple, that was there. They wouldn't dare because there'd be all kinds, not only the evil eye, but everything would be against them and they'd be, you know, ravaged with something. So he'd like to be in there where God is protected. Here's a couple of images from other psalms that indicate a bit of the same thing. Yahweh, who may abide in your tent? Tent, tabernacle, same idea. Who may dwell on your holy hill? Psalm 27, one thing I ask of Yahweh, that will I seek after, to live in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life. Like Anna in the temple, you know, in the Luke chapter 2, yeah. To behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple. Inquire, I haven't looked at this recently, but I'm almost certain, the Hebrew is darash. You may have heard the word when you do a bit of reading around midrash. Midrash is a form of writing in the Bible. You put an M on the front of a word, you end up saying it's those things that happen with, it's a noun, that happen when you darash, midrash. Darash is to seek. Midrash is what you come up with as a reflective meditation having sought. Incidentally, it's the same in Arabic. Islam is the religion. Muslim is a person belonging to Islam. The M, see it again? Pertaining to Islam. Mo-Islam, Muslim. So, here it is, here anyhow. I want to inquire in Islam. I want to search for you, search for God, search for meaning, search for truth, search for love. We're all on this search. But he wants to do it in the most beautiful place, which is the temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. And in their world, in the Semitic world, if you're in someone's tent, you had the protection of the person who owned the tent. We had it yesterday in the responsorial psalm, the beautiful Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He's prepared a banquet for me in the sight of my foes. You've anointed my head with oil, my cup is overflowing. But notice, he's in the tent, but what happens when they lift the flaps of the tent and he continues his journey, because he's not in the promised land yet? Once he gets outside the tent, he's on his own. And the psalmist says, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life. So the God, who is the master of the tent, and you couldn't dare touch me there, or you touch him and everyone else, he doesn't just say, okay, well, here's a lovely meal, off you go. He sends his goodness and his kindness to escort me on my journey. Well, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. There's the image of our psalm, one of them. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to Yahweh. That's Psalm 27. Back now to our psalm, Psalm 61, verses 5 to 8, and this is the conclusion. It's quite brief, but quite simple and lovely. For you, O God, have heard my vows. Distraction again. How often do you see? I see it. Not a week would go by without seeing a dirty big headline in the newspaper. Prime Minister vows to do something. Or, you know, the leader of the opposition vows to do. They're not making a vow at all. Like, stop destroying our language. Stop. Don't allow people to abuse words, or they become the meaning. Like, obedience has been abused over the centuries, so obedience has come to mean, look up the Oxford Dictionary, doing what you're told. Obedience is not doing what you're told. It's not what the word means. Ob audiens means listening, audiens, audience, and ob means really close up. So obedience, and it's the same, by the way, in Greek, akouo, hupakouo, same in Hebrew, shuma, same word. Listening. Obedience means listening from close. Now, having listened from close, that's what obedience is. Listen to your parents from close up. Listen to your kids. Listen to the priest. Listen to the Pope. But having listened from close up, you have to decide what to do. And it may not be do what you're told, because when you listen, you realize that the person doesn't understand, has made a mistake, is working on certain suppositions that you don't have to. And if they only knew, they wouldn't be saying this to you. Do you get me? You come along to me maybe to ask advice, and I do my best, but you go home and realize, oh, poor bloke, he doesn't have any clue on marriage, really. Like, you know, he's read the books, but he has. So if he knew, you know, get me? So obedience doesn't mean doing what you're told. That's not what it means, but it does mean it now in almost everybody's mind, because the word has been abused. And if we don't get in early and say, stop it, the Prime Minister didn't vow at all. He might have. He might have gone to God and spent all night in prayer and made a solemn promise. No, he might have. You know, I'm not saying he didn't, but it's unlikely that that's what they mean. It means he's determined to, but not vowed to. Especially when it's a football, the captain of the football vows to beat Collingwood next week. So verse 5, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king, because we depend on him. You know, may his years endure for generations. May his reign be always under God's gaze. May your kindness and faithfulness watch over him. And I will continue to sing praises in your honor as I fulfill my vows day by day.